I decided to start playing Scrabble on my iPad a couple weeks ago. I have had at least 20, like 50 plus year old men like messaging me on Scrabble and weird things too. And I'm like, this is literally Scrabble. I'm playing Scrabble right now. And so there is an unlimited amount of places on the internet where people can get access to kiddos.
I have this conversation with fourth and fifth graders in the schools. What I do when I talk to youth about internet safety specifically, I ask them, if I gave you an iPad right now, if I gave you your phone, what are you going to open? What are you going on? What are you going to use? And we write them all on the board. And then we go through one by one. The language that we use is sexual abuse, is looking at, talking about, or touching someone's private parts in a way that isn't keeping their body safe. And so we go through those different applications one by one, and we have conversations about how can talking about happen? How could looking at happen on here? They know that touching can't happen because it's the internet. However, talking about and looking at, they understand. It's not keeping kids off those apps. It's not putting blocks in place. One, they're going to find another way to get on the internet. They will use their friends' phones. They will use their friends' devices. They will go to the school, whatever. But then again, communicating with them. Why do I not want you on these things? Or what conversations or what warning signs do I want you to be looking for? When I do these conversations with fourth and fifth graders, it's very much a dialogue. I go to Twitter, say. I ask them to like show me a thumb and say, like, yes, looking at could happen, no, looking at can happen. And if there's kids who disagree, I ask them to explain their point, and then we come to agreements together about if sexual abuse could happen on that app. It's just really a big point to explain to them what we want to be looking out for, and then when those things happen, how to respond appropriately. I encourage students, like, we talk about blocking them, reporting them. And then I also still encourage them to follow up with an adult because blocking or reporting doesn't always stop that from happening again. And so I always encourage the youth, like, if we block or if we report, awesome, but then we still always want to tell an adult.
Even if you're setting these strict boundaries with technology, with your kids, so that you're trying to decrease access, it's still so important to have these conversations with your kids, even if you're setting those boundaries. I've talked to kids, they've had potential abusers contact them over their school emails. So you can't keep them sheltered from everything in the world. So we should still be having these conversations about the fact that, like Carly said, when you go play Scrabble online, there might be 50-year-old men talking to you. Because for a lot of kids, it doesn't really occur to them that the people that they're talking to online might not be kids just like them. So letting them know, like, just because someone wants your phone number because they want to talk to you more when you're done with Scrabble doesn't mean you give it to them. You don't know who this person is. A lot of times they do think, well, I'm a kid on this game. I'm playing Roblox. This is a kid's game, so I must be talking to another kid. And that's not always the case.
What we want kids to be aware of is that being manipulated is not their fault. So after something happens, one, get yourself safe, however that looks like, and then two, tell an adult, and reminding them that they are children, and the rules that I teach children or the rules that I teach youth are like the rules of safe and unsafe touches, of keeping each other safe. That those are rules that all adults know, and that adults can choose to follow those rules or not follow those rules. And adults' jobs are to keep kids safe and not break those rules specifically against children. How I talk to fourth and fifth graders about this is I tell them, I'm gonna come over to your house and we're gonna hang out and we're gonna play on your iPad. And you accidentally left it on the floor. And I come over and I see your iPad and I decide to just stomp all over it and break it. And then I ask the kids, whose fault is that? And I honestly get a lot of, well, I left it on the floor, so it's my fault. I know it hurts my heart when I hear that, but then I tell them, did I see the iPad on the floor? And they say, yeah. And I said, could I have made the decision to not stomp all over your things? And they say, well, yeah. And then I ask again, so whose fault is it? And they're like, it's your fault. And so that's one way that I've been able to explain to kids the adult is making the decision and you are not at fault in this relationship or in this situation.
When folks who are much older than you are giving you attention and making you feel pretty and making you feel smart and interesting and mature for your age? Like, how do we combat that? First of all, like, what does a 50-year-old man want with a 23-year-old girl? What do you guys have in common? Are your life interests like adding up right now? Are you in the same spot in life? Like, why are they searching out someone so much younger? And then on the flip side of that, why don't people their own age want to date them? Are people their age running for the hills because they see that something's not connecting with this person? Why do they want to date someone so much younger? Why won't somebody their own age date them?
I think a lot of combating that instinct is having those conversations. A couple years ago, we weren't having these conversations. And still, even in schools, I feel like, you know, we have sex education, but that is usually lacking in healthy relationship education. And so much of that is just providing access to children about what healthy relationships look like so that when they are exposed to an unhealthy relationship, they know what it looks like and they know to tell someone about it. And that's really all it is making sure that they have access to the education.
I think it's a matter of instilling those conversations and so that kids know, hey, I've learned about this. I know that this is now a red flag.
So we were talking about conversations and educating on what healthy and unhealthy relationships look like. And another way that you can combat that instinct for, you know, younger people to go for older people who make them feel like adults and listen to them is to also educate children on what the red flags are. But you can also look at red flags in youth. And this can look like suddenly having an entirely different group of friends or hanging out with people who are much older than you. I talk to teenagers a lot who say that, you know, maybe they're older teenagers and all my friends graduated. And so I didn't have any friends. And now I have this whole new group of friends that's completely different, that's way older, and that makes me feel super grown up. And that can be a red flag. But those sudden drastic shifts, having suddenly like a bunch of money when you know that your 13-year-old kid doesn't have a job can be a red flag of a kid who might be getting trafficked or has the potential of being trafficked. Or if they don't have money, they all of a sudden have very new, expensive technology or clothes, vape pens. Like, oh, where'd you get those? I know you're not 18, so how did you get that stuff? And it's okay to ask. Just try to ask in like a non-judgmental way. So it's okay to check in, you know, ask what's going on in their lives. And just you're more leaving the door open when you're asking these questions for them to come talk to you. Like I said before, as a parent, you might not be that safe person who they talk to, but it's still okay to leave the door open and let them know that you are a safe person to talk to. Being a girl is not a red flag for being a trafficking victim. Girls, boys, transgender, youth, non-binary, literally just being a child or being a teenager can be a risk factor for being a trafficking victim.